we've been talking about over the last several weeks in the messages on Sunday morning about accusations that are made against us as grace believers many times. And in looking at those, the idea there is to present the other side of that accusation. Several weeks back, we looked at the idea that people accuse us of, or the thing people many times we're accused of, and that is of giving people a license to sin. And then we looked at the accusation that we make the gospel too simple. And today, I want us to consider the accusation that is made many times against grace believers and those that rightly divide, and that is that we don't believe the whole Bible. You've probably heard people say that. You've heard people say, well, you might as well, or basically what you've done is just throw away part of the Bible. And that is a common misconception, and it is a common accusation that is made toward those that rightly divide the Word of Truth, that we don't believe the whole Bible. Well, obviously we do believe the whole Bible, and we base that on, obviously, the things that are written throughout the Bible, but also on what Paul says when he says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, I want us to look at some verses this morning about believing the whole Bible, and what I want you to see and understand is really the only way you can honestly, with integrity, say that you believe the whole Bible is to rightly divide the Word of Truth. Because to say that you believe all the Bible is written to you is just, to be very frank, dishonest. Because people don't believe all the Bible is written to them. Let's look at a couple of verses here. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, the Bible said, or verse 1, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Notice in verse 2, the Lord was very emphatic with the nation Israel when He said, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it." Over in Deuteronomy chapter 12, Deuteronomy chapter 12, in verse 32, He says, "What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." And then in Revelation chapter 22, Revelation 22, and of course, I recognize the dispensational place of these verses, but I think what it shows us is the attitude that God has toward His Word, His written Word. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, some verses in relation to the prophecy of John the Revelator. In verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." So God is very emphatic that when He gives a revelation, when He has it written down and it becomes Scriptures, that we are not to add to it nor take away from it. And remember, Paul said that what he received by revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Word of God that we have in this King James Bible, the completed, pure, preserved Word of God, is not to be taken away from nor added to. Now, when people say that we don't believe the whole Bible, that is a very serious accusation based on what we just read. Because if we don't, in other words, if we are just going to throw part of the Bible away, then obviously we are walking contrary to the Word of God and the will of God. Look in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Now think about that. I know we all know that verse, but the emphasis I want you to look at there in verse 5 is the first word. Every word of God is pure. Listen, folks, the Bible is as inspired in Genesis 1:1 as it is in that last verse of the book of Revelation. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God has been preserved for our learning and our understanding. And we do not believe that part of the Bible is less inspired than other parts of it. We need to be clear about that. But when we talk about rightly dividing the Word of Truth and following Paul's epistles, there is generally that perception that somehow that we believe that Paul's words are more inspired than others. That is not the case at all. What we do believe is that there are certain words in this Bible that are written directly to us, while all the Bible is for us. It's not all written directly to us. And so that's the reason that we distinguish between the ministry for Israel and the ministry for the church, the body of Christ, and the doctrine for those two groups. Now, what is interesting is that generally when people say that we don't believe the whole Bible, most of those people themselves make a distinction between at least what they call the Old and the New Testament. In other words, most people will say, well, we're a New Testament church. And the Sunday school lesson this morning was a tremendous lesson that when it was over, I said, you know, if the religious world would listen to that 30-minute message and get a hold of it, it would clear up 99% of the misunderstanding in the religious world today. Because we're not the New Covenant. We're not Israel. We are the church, which is His body. The church, the body of Christ. And we have a gospel that was preached to that church and an apostle that was given that revelation. And so, while people accuse us and accuse grace believers of not believing the whole Bible, most of them also at least divide between the Old and the New Testament. Now, I recognize some don't. But even those that say they don't really do. I've had discussions with people in the past, and a couple in particular, where someone would say, well, we're not like you. We believe all the Bible. Like, you know, that's some kind of spiritual plateau. We believe all the Bible. Well, so do I. But the point is that those people that say, we believe all the Bible, generally will go on to say, we believe in following all the Scriptures. But when you take them to the Bible, and this happened recently with me, or a while back, with a particular person, when you take them to the Scriptures and begin to expose the fact that they don't really believe it, generally, rather than just saying, oh me, they get mad. They get upset with you. Let me show you some illustrations. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21. Had a discussion with somebody not long ago and was talking about angels and the ministry of angels. And I said, well, and they were talking about certain things. And I said, well, you know, that's what you're saying is it was true in time past. And they said, oh, but we're not like you. I'm not like you. I don't believe in this time past. I believe all the Bible is written to me. Well, let's check and see if they do. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and unto the gates of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, and he shall die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, aren't you kids glad back there that we're not under that law? You understand what happens to a rebellious child? As a matter of fact, do you know that, I think it was about 2 years ago, a Muslim family in Ohio that had moved here beat their daughter to death on the basis of a similar scripture in the Quran. Senior moment there. A similar verse of scripture in the Quran there, and they had literally beat their daughter to death and used their scripture that they use as the reason to do it, and went to court and defiantly told the judge they were right in doing so, and now they're in prison. You see, people don't take time to read and understand the implication of making a statement like, oh, we apply all the scriptures. They don't. Another example, look in Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Well, there you go again. You see, what's interesting to me is when people talk about wanting to believe all the verses and believe all the... You know, they'll go back there to the Old Testament. And the reason, folks, behind all of that is that they want to claim the blessings of Israel. That's what's all behind it. Like the prayer of Jabez. And this stuff is written about, name it and claim it. All this Old Testament stuff about that you read about there, prosperity and on the basis of giving and all that kind of stuff. But you know what's interesting about that? The same people that want to claim all of the blessings associated with Israel, they don't want to claim any of the curses that are associated with Israel. Because you see, with every blessing for Israel, there was a curse if you didn't do it. In other words, the blessings were conditional, and if you didn't perform the if system, the performance system of the law, there were curses that were associated with it. The people don't claim the curses, they only claim the blessings. Look on Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy 22, verse 11. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. In other words, they couldn't mix fabrics. You got any day-climbing wool? Got any cotton and linen? You couldn't wear that. That's Old Testament scriptures. That's the Word of God that thou shalt not add to nor take away from. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy 24. Verse 5. When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife which he hath taken. Any of you guys take a year off when you got married? Stay home and cheer up your wife? That'd have been a good one. I'd love to have done that. Well, that's what the Bible says. I mean, I hope you'll jot some of these verses down, and the next time somebody tells you they believe all the Bible's written to them, just read them some of these verses. Now, far be it from me to explain why God gave some of these rules and regulations. But they're there. And the Bible says don't add to them and don't take away from them. And they were there for the nation Israel, and they were there to govern. That's why God gave them. To govern the nation Israel. And there were purposes behind every one of them or God would have never given them. Look in Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy 25. Any of you women married to men, you don't like their brothers, you need to pay attention to this one. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. Deuteronomy 25, verse 5. Deuteronomy 25, 5. Look back in Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy 14. Verse 1, you are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. These are the beasts which ye shall eat, the ox, the sheep, and the goat. The hart, and the roebuck, and the fallow deer, and the wild goat, and the whatever, and the wild ox, and the chamois, and every beast that that parteth the hoof, and cleaveth the cleft into the claws, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that ye shall eat. Nevertheless, these ye shall not eat of them that chew the cud, of them that divide the cloven hoof, as the camel, and the hare, and the coney, for they chew the cud, but divide not the hoof. Therefore they are unclean unto you, and the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. Now, what was interesting is when I was having this discussion with this individual about the angels, and this person said that they believed all the Bible was written to them, it was at breakfast, and I just happened to look over at their plate, and there's a big old piece of country ham laying there. And I'm thinking, what a hypocrite. It just said right there, the swine. He says, it is unclean, ye shall not eat of their flesh. You see, if you're going to obey the Old Testament, it's no wonder that the laws and the statutes, they wrote them on there. I mean, listen, folks, this was a complex system. And you know, over in the book of Leviticus, it talks about if you sin through ignorance, you bring the sacrifice. It was a complex system of do's and don'ts. As a matter of fact, you look there in verse 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 14. These ye shall eat of all that are in the waters, all that have fins and scales shall ye eat. And whatsoever hath not fins and scales, ye may not eat. It is unclean unto you. Catfish, can't eat it. Pork, can't eat it. These are dietary laws for the nation Israel. And people don't observe those today. People say, okay, well, I'll give you that. Maybe we don't follow the Old Testament. We certainly believe in following all the laws of the New Testament. Well, let's look and see. Look in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. It's a sacrifice, folks. In other words, if you're going to follow the doctrine of Matthew, then in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, early part of that, they were still bringing sacrifices, observing the sacrificial system. Notice that in Matthew 5:29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Generally, people don't observe that. There have been some that do. There was a man some 20 years ago went to a Church of God revival service and left there and was driving down Brainerd Road and pulled over and gouged his eye out with a pocket knife based on the preacher preaching the verse as literal truth for us today. You see, it's important to rightly divide the word of truth, to understand how to rightly divide. Look in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Now you know what happens when you get over to the book of Matthew generally, folks? I've seen it time and time again. When people try to take their doctrine from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is such confusion that they only have one or two options. If they want to believe that the words written on the page mean what they say, they have a real problem. Because most people that say they follow the words of Jesus or follow the footsteps of Jesus have bank accounts, savings accounts, stock, and so forth. And yet Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth." There was a specific purpose for Jesus giving those instructions. And as I was having a discussion with somebody this past week, they were talking about some things that they had heard taught out of the book of Matthew. And generally what will happen is there will always be some type of explanation of why. In other words, Jesus didn't really mean that. He was just putting you to the test to see if you would be obedient. No, Jesus really meant these things that He taught. And He taught them to a specific people for a specific time, for a specific purpose. And that people was the nation Israel. The purpose was to fulfill the kingdom message. And these things that are taught for obedience. Not just to test them, but for them to obey. Look down in verse 25. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Well, I guarantee you, the majority of people sitting in denominational churches this morning that would say they believe in following the red letters of Jesus, or following the footsteps of Jesus, they've already sometime this morning given some thought about what they're going to eat today. And not just thought like that. They've given thought about going to work tomorrow in order to provide money to provide for the meat. And yet Jesus Christ said, take no thought for your life. That's in direct contrast to what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, when he said, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. But you see, people will look at these verses and they'll explain them away, or they'll run to the Greek and Hebrew and try to find what the words really mean rather than just simply being able to say, I believe the verse means what it says. That's why I started out by saying, the only people, in my opinion, the only people can really, truthfully, honestly say that we believe all the Bible means exactly what it says, where it says it, is that though it, those are the only people that can do that are those that rightly divide the word of truth, because we understand that these words were not written to us. Sure, they're written for us to read and understand, but not as doctrine to us. And if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you can't really believe the Bible means what it says. You've got to take away from it, or add to it, or change it up in some kind of way. Look in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2. Say, well, maybe there's some teachings there about the kingdom we can't follow, but after the cross, we certainly believe that everything there is written to us, and, you know, the church starts in Acts chapter 2 and so forth. Well, look in Acts chapter 2, verse 45, or verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. You know anybody that believes the church started in Acts chapter 2 that's done that? Look over in chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4. Verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, I'd just like to go into one of these charismatic churches and put that in practice for about 2 or 3 weeks and then retire. I'm already retired, but I'd have a little more income. I mean, think about it, folks. People don't. People say, "Well, he was just that was just for back then. That, he was just putting them to the test." Really? Well, check with Ananias and Sapphira and see how real it was. I mean, you go down there, and the Bible says they held back just a little bit, and they carried them out dead. This was a serious thing, folks. It's always a serious thing when we're talking about the Word of God. Now, what's the answer to all this? Well, the answer is that the only way that we can follow Paul is to believe all the Scriptures. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and get Romans chapter 16. Second Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The message you've been listening to demonstrates the importance of rightly dividing the word of truth. While all the Bible is written for us, it's obvious that it is not all written to us. As we point out in the message, there are many scriptures that are written specifically to the nation Israel. And as a matter of fact, most of your Bible is written to the nation Israel. However, there are specific instructions in the Word of God for us during the present dispensation of grace as members of the church, the body of Christ. Those instructions are found in Paul's epistles in Romans through Philemon. We'll be studying each week about the importance of rightly dividing the word of truth and how that particular principle makes it so much easier to understand your Bible. I hope that you'll tune in each week, because really, rightly dividing the word of truth is the only way that we really can understand our Bible.